Go ahead and open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be looking today at primarily verses 17 to 19 in what is a passage that I encourage you to underline, highlight, whatever it takes to remember this section, because it is one of those foundational passages of Scripture to our walk with God that will fill us and feed us and bring security that we need in our walk with God. Now, why would I word it that way? I want you to compare this idea to, let's say, a child who lives in a home where it's broken, where mom and dad, where the child does not experience a consistent love from her parents or know really like the depth of the love of her parents. And so if she experiences where she feels like she always has to earn favor with mom or dad, try to make them happy so they don't get mad. Like there's going to be something that changes inside of her heart. She's going to be insecure. She's going to try too hard to meet standards or please her parents when she really shouldn't have to do that for that reason. There will be a difficulty to trust other people and to trust God, because love is one of those foundational components to what helps someone to thrive in relationships. In the same way, if you don't know the love of God, you will be prone to the same things. Feeling very insecure in your relationship with God, always feeling like you have to measure up and please and overwork to make God happy, that you have a hard time trusting Him when things happen in your life. Like, love is that foundational piece that we need in our lives. We have to know it. And I'm encouraging you today that as we're going to look at God's word that talks about this, that you would, even right now in your heart, just be praying, God, will you show me your love for me? Like, I need this. So will you speak to me today? Just, you know, silently just be thinking and praying like that. You might be listening to this being like, though, Pastor Steve, like, I don't get that idea. When I hear other people talk about the love of God, I hear it and I'm like, that's awesome for them. But I always have these excuses in my heart, these walls that are like, I can't, like, it doesn't make sense to me. I hear it up here and I don't feel it down here. We're going to talk about that also today. What would block us from experiencing the love of God? But I want to tell you that it's God's word that says this. You're not making this up. I'm not making this up. God himself tells us that he wants us to know how deeply he loves us. And so stand upon that, if anything else, the faith in God's word, that he is saying this to us today. And so really, love is the only thing that can sustain our relationship with God. It's the only thing that can really motivate us. If it's based on guilt, because we feel like we have to, well, that'll never fully sustain us or fill us. If it's based on fear, because we feel like we're going to get zapped by lightning if we don't do the right thing, that's not going to really fulfill us. It's love. Because you remember what God said he wants from us the most. The number one commandment, right? You guys remember the greatest commandment? When Jesus was asked, hey, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How can you love a God that doesn't already love you? But if we know, like 1 John 5 says, we can love because he first loved us. This is so important for us to grasp. Before we get into this in chapter 3, I want to push rewind real quick and recap what's going on in the first two chapters. Because we saw at the end of chapter 1 this elevated, exalted view of Jesus, who he is, that he's God and eternally existed as God and was on the throne in heaven, but came down into our world. He died for us. He was raised again from the dead and was exalted into this high place. It says that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And as he is there, he is far above all rulers and authorities and powers and dominions in this world. You guys remember this if you were here 2 weeks ago? This is Jesus in this really high, exalted place over everything that you can ever imagine in the world. It says God placed all things under his feet. There is nothing that's too hard for him. There's no one that challenges him. He has a plan that he is working out in this world. Amazingly, it says he's also the head of the church. He has begun to redeem a people for himself, gather people for himself, and he has direction and purpose for us. And in that, it says we are the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God is already at work everywhere around us. Christ is, he already fills everything in every way, but he's called us his fullness. He's put his fullness in us. This Christ dwells in us. Like, what an amazing thought that God himself would come and live in us. And so we're able now to reflect his divine glory. But how? Because the big question is, we're not all that great. Like, are you with me? We've messed things up. I've made a mess of things in my life. I am a bona fide sinner right here. I do not follow God in every way and never have since I was a kid in and of myself. Chapter 2 comes in, says, you're dead in your transgressions and sins. You got nothing to offer the Lord. You have no spiritual heartbeat in and of yourself. You are following the ways of the world. You're following the ways of Satan. You're following the ways of yourself. Those are the three big areas, by the way, that are big influences in our life, apart from Christ, the world, Satan, and our flesh. It's the part in us that has desires and thoughts that are contrary to God. And it says that all you were left for was judgment, wrath of God, like the scrap heap. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his love for us, made us alive with Christ. He stepped into the equation and changed everything. He brought a heartbeat back to us. He gave us the ability to trust him and know him. He saved us from our sin. He raised us up and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. Like, we get to sit in that place of authority with him. We went from rags to riches. We went from orphan to being adopted into a family to being in this royal family. Sons and daughters of the king. Like, this is amazing stuff. So because of what God did, all of his grace, his redemption of his plan, he's pulling us into this place. And we're given the fullness of Christ in us. And so it says that we're made into a new creation. Not because of anything we've done, not because of our works. We can't boast about it. We're his masterpiece. This summer, we were mini-golfing in Minnesota, up there visiting my parents. And so as we're mini-golfing, it was really expensive. We're like, why are we paying all this money to go mini golfing here? Really, it's not because it was that awesome of a mini golf course. Here's why. Because the owners of this place spent all this time developing like works of art, sculptures and statues and all this stuff all throughout this mini golf course and in like acres and acres of land next to it. And so you would go around, you're like, whoa, that's really crazy. You're like, whoa, that's amazing. It was mostly out of recycled materials. And so there was this giant sea turtle that was probably the size of from that wall to me, this big, made out of recycled tires, like cut up tires, and they made an entire sculpture out of it. And I was thinking, that's a picture of what we are. We were good for the scrap heap only, and he made something beautiful out of us, something amazing. That's us. God did that. And the Apostle Paul in chapter 3 is going, man, this is an amazing mystery that God would do this, and he's revealed this in these days, and he's made me a messenger of this, and he can't wrap his mind around it. And so he begins in verse 14 to pray for us, that we would start to grasp the reality that we were made for more, that Jesus is bigger than we can realize, his plan of salvation is bigger than we can realize, that our divine purpose is bigger than we can realize. So this is what he begins to pray in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. He's like down on his knees praying. From whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So like that there would be this divine strengthening inside of us by the Holy Spirit, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. Now we know biblically, anyone who has placed their faith in Christ, when they have turned from their sin and they've accepted Christ as Savior, he's there. He lives there. He takes up residence in us, the indwelling Christ by the Holy Spirit in us. But he's saying, I pray that he will dwell in your hearts, like live, and like his presence will just be everything to you. He will dwell in your hearts through faith. And here's where we get into our part for today. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. That's his prayer for us. I want to look at these different parts of it so we can grasp what he's saying in his word. And the first observation I have about it is actually pretty, it sounds like a duh kind of observation, but I'm asking the question, why does Paul, the apostle, feel the need to pray this, and it becomes part of God's inspired word for us? Why does he need to pray that we'd have power to grasp this about his love, about God's love? And the answer is because we don't get it. We have thick skulls. We have calloused hearts. We just struggle to get this concept. It's too good of news for us. I don't know about you, but I have like 1,000 reasons why I would like to tell God, you shouldn't love me. Do you guys have your list of things? You shouldn't love me because of this, 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 this. And if you only really knew what I was like, then da-da-da. Okay? So I'm gonna give you like 3 big categories of reasons. There's probably a bunch more we could come up with, but I just want to talk through a few of those so that maybe you're resonating with me. I've been in various points of these through my life. On this end of the spectrum, maybe you might be sitting there going, well, God should love me. I mean, after all, I've got my life together pretty well, and I've done all the big check marks that I'm supposed to do in my relationship with God, all right? I go to church, like, you know, twice a month, and I, you know, volunteer in some ministry once a month, and, you know, we set a real low bar for ourselves. I give a little bit to the offering every now and then. I've joined a small group, and I've kind of done the Christian thing I'm supposed to do. So haven't I earned it? If you feel that your life is good enough that you've kind of earned the love of God, then of course it won't mean anything to you. It's like, okay. Do you remember who Jesus had the harshest words for in the New Testament? Pharisees, religious leaders who thought they had done it all, who had pulled it together, who had followed enough of God's commands that of course he loves us. It's those sinners who he does not love. And they had it all wrong. Not that the other people weren't sinners. What they had it wrong was that they weren't sinners. See, Jesus said, you guys, you have it all together. You do all this, this, and this, and this, but you don't know me. And inside of you, it's like whitewashed tombs. You're painting the outside of a tomb to make it look all nice, but on the inside it's full of death. You've got pride in there. You've got selfishness in there. You've got anger in there. And all the stuff that's going on the inside. And folks, every one of us has that. And sometimes we just need to be brought like back to reality. You ever watch those videos on YouTube or on, you know, Facebook, whatever? It's a video series called Fail Army. It's of all these people who go around and you catch them on video crashing. It's like America's Funniest Home Videos, but like modern day, right? It's like a skateboarder who's going and he's going down this pathway, and he goes down some stairs and kicks off the rail, and he gets to the bottom and totally splats at the bottom. Like, I don't know why that's so entertaining to people, but it's like they make movies like in the video clips like that. Sometimes we need to realize we're the person in the video. Spiritually speaking, we can't do it. We don't have it all together. I need to come face to face again with my failure in my life. Because then I'm the person going, oh God, how could you love a sinner like me? That's a healthy thing to realize. Sometimes, whether it's through my own failure, whether it's just through the struggles of life and I just can't keep it together, I don't have enough that it takes to solve this problem or to meet this need or whatever it may be. Pride has to be broken. And God will do that for us. So maybe you're on this side of the spectrum where you're not as familiar recently with your need for God. On the other side are the people who are maybe so down on themselves, they feel like there's this voice in their head all the time saying, God couldn't love you. I mean, you remember what you've done. You know what you're like. You know the things that run through your head all day. You don't have it together. You don't deserve God's love. And so there's judgment and condemnation and shame always being spoken over you. And maybe it's because you're echoing things that other people have said about you. And so you go, God could not love someone like me. And so what this side needs to realize is you don't deserve God's love. That's the good news about it. You couldn't do anything to clean yourself up enough or earn it back for yourself. In fact, you can't even pay for your sin. Jesus already did it. So lay all that at the foot of the cross and just accept that he loved you enough. He came to you. You don't have to work your way back to him. And trust him. That's hard to do. Another spot on the spectrum, it probably doesn't belong on that spectrum. It's probably like its own thing here, but it's maybe even more significant, are the big questions we wrestle with in life. Some of you have been through some very, very traumatic and hard things. You've experienced your share of pain, of loss, things that have been done to you, maybe even from a young age. And you have this thought, I see that God loves other people. I can believe that, but I don't believe he could love me. It's not fair what I've been through. It's not right. Other people get off easier, so God must not love me. I must be being punished for some reason. Or I look at what's happened in someone's life that I love or something out in the world, and I go, how could this be if God's so loving? You hear this question all the time. If God's so loving, why is he allowing X, Y, and Z? And so we have all these barriers that we've put up to God. We can't trust a God like that who would let this happen. I don't see him working in my life. And all of those big questions and all those walls, God wants us to let them drop and let him into them. Let him into the questions. Let him into the hurt and the pain. God isn't too small that he can't handle our questions. He can sit with us in the middle of it and go, you're right. That should never have happened. Yep, it seems totally unfair. I get it. From your vantage point, it looks totally unfair. And God actually will weep with those who weep. He will mourn with those who mourn. And he will meet us right in those places. I have seen God minister to people in their brokenness, in the depth of their pain, and show them his love in ways that other people can't even realize. This is actually, if you'll let God in, it's a way that you may be able to experience him in a whole new kind of level and depth. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't have to fear any evil because he's with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life because God is with us. Let him into those places in your heart. Let him into those places in your life. Let the walls come down, because only as we come as a child, not as we come with all of our shields and our weapons and things against God because we already have put up our walls, only as we let that drop and come as a child can he begin to minister his love to us. Just like you would see a child who skinned their knee crawl up in mom's lap and be held and comforted while they cry, this is what we're invited to do with the Lord. Don't mistake the situations of life for whether he loves you or not. He does, and it's clear in his word that he does, and it will all make sense one day. He does not owe it to explain it to you right now, but one day he will. And it will make sense. So we have all these reasons why we may not experience the love of God. The world's throwing everything at us so that we can't understand it. Satan's trying everything he can do to distort our view of God. Our own hearts are full of questions and walls and things. We may get callous. We may get cold. But God's love is true nonetheless. And he wants to speak to you about it today. It's why the Apostle Paul would be down on his knees praying, oh God, would you open their hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit that they could see this, that they could grasp this. That's what God wants to do. So that's verse 17. He moves on to say he's praying for you, being rooted and established in love, that we may have power together with all the saints to grasp his love. So let's talk about this idea that we are rooted and established in God's love. It's simply the idea that if you've come to faith in Christ, the only way you could have come to faith in Christ is because he loves you. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the idea that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The only way you were able to come to God for salvation is because Jesus loves you. He died for you. He paid for your sin. And so here you go. And it's like a plant that gets uprooted out of where it was, and it gets planted now in the garden of God's love. And a hole gets dug out, and you get put in there, and your roots are now in, soaking up in the soil, the love of God. You are rooted, and you are established there, and it is a fact. Whether you realize it or not, the plant may not even appreciate what has happened for it, but all it knows is it's growing there. You are there if you are in Christ. But he says, you've been rooted and established in love, but I pray that you will have power together with all the saints to grasp his love. So it's not enough to just be there. It's something we've got to have to be able to understand it, to be able to realize it, to be able to grasp it. And so we come to this word grasp. We need to grasp the love of God. This word grasp is actually the word katalambano in Greek. I love pulling out Greek words because it's like, these are cool words, right? You guys can actually take that home and practice that with me. Katalambano. It means to grab, to hold on to according to what is true. To grasp it. To make it your own. To pull it into reality that you own it, that you seize it, that it's yours. So if you enter into a contest and you put in your entry, then if you win the prize, you need to actually like claim the prize. It's yours, but you've got to actually make it yours. Does that make sense? So a couple of years ago, 20 years ago now, before we had kids, Lisette and I were living in Chicago, and in the newspaper, which by the way, kids, you know what a newspaper is? You ever seen one of those before? We used to have that every day. And we would get it on Sundays, the Chicago Tribune. And so in there, I saw this ad for Apple Vacations. They had this entry that you could like fill out with a pen on paper and get an envelope and lick it and lick the stamp, because they didn't have like sticker stamps back then. They had to lick the stamps, put it on, and mail it. And so it went into wherever it said on the address for this thing. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. And so Apple Vacations, I wonder what this is for. A couple weeks later, we came home, we had a voicemail on our answering machine. By the way, kids, there's a thing called an answering machine that you've probably never even heard of before. And so we came home, we played the message, and it says, Mr. Wiggins, you have been selected as a winner for our entry for Apple Vacations, and you've won a free vacation. A trip for two, round trip airfare, lodging, and lift tickets to Salt Lake City. To go to a ski resort there. I was like, what? That's awesome. And so what if we came in the house and we heard this message and we just go, well, that's cool. We won. And we never call him back. That would be idiotic, right? It was like, come on, you have to like catalambano this thing. You got to make it your own. So I called back the number that they said because there was no caller ID at that time. I had to write down the number that they said. Called them back, and they said, you know, here, this is what you've won. Here's what we're willing to do for you. What dates work for you? And we booked the vacation over the phone because they didn't have the internet back then. And so we went to Salt Lake City. We went to this awesome ski resort. There's Lisette in her skiing digs there. She looks pretty awesome, hot chick on the mountain. And so we got to stay right there in that lodge where the ski resort was just right there. It was awesome. You have to actually make it your own. God has left you the message. You've won. You're in. But you gotta like take it, claim it as yours, live in it, take the trip in his love. That's what he's praying, that you'll actually make it yours, that you will realize that you'll live every day in this awareness that God loves you. Work it out into every area of your life, the way that you live, the way that you respond, the way that when challenges come up, when something makes you feel insecure, when you fail at something, like, where's the love of God in all those moments? It's there. Christ is enough for me in this moment, in this moment, in this moment. When things are falling apart, I can go to him, and I know that my place of safety, my place of refuge, my place of security is in Christ, no matter what's going on. Make it yours. Know that every time that you go to pray, you're not just having to like make up for like all the bad things. No, you can confess it. You can be honest with it because you know that he loves you. It's been forgiven in Christ. It's already been paid for. So you can come and you can have the greatest joy being with him because, man, I'm his. I'm his son. You're his daughter. In that relationship of love. Okay, he says, I pray that you will grasp, katalambano, this love, that you'll know how wide and high and long and deep is the love of God. I could try to describe for you the Atlantic Ocean. I could tell you about it. I could describe the view on the horizon. But until you stand there and look, there's my happy place right there, the beach. I actually took that picture. Wow, Miami. Mm. Until you go and stand at the shore and look, you don't get it, do you? You can't describe the ocean to someone. You got to see it. The Atlantic Ocean is, at its shortest point across, 1,600 miles. Most places, it's much, much longer than that, 2,000, 3,000 miles across to either Europe or Africa. Most places in the ocean, it's 3 miles deep. Some places, it's 5 miles deep. You imagine going 5 miles up into the sky. You're going like the height of an airplane. Imagine the depth of that down of water. If I go out and I swim in the ocean, I am in the Atlantic Ocean. I'm splashing around. It's generally the Atlantic Ocean, but I'm only splashing in the tiniest little proportion of that water because it goes all up and down from the north to the south. It goes a couple thousand miles across. It goes miles and miles deep. The volume of water is so big, I could never see every molecule of that water. I could never get into all parts of it and fully grasp it and understand it. But I know I was in the Atlantic Ocean. And I know that it's bigger and wider and longer than anything I could ever imagine. That's what God's love is like for us. Step in and start splashing around. Start trying it out. Stand on the side and look at it and go, wow, it's so huge. It's amazing. He's saying, get in the water. Take a trip. Start going around. This is my love for you. Grasp it. Get it. It's yours. How wide, how high, how long, how deep. This love that surpasses knowledge. I pray that you will know this love that surpasses knowledge. That's an oxymoron, by the way. How can you know something that surpasses knowledge? That's like the awe that he has for it. It's that much bigger. But he wants us to know it. God wants us to know it. He's inviting us in. And at the end of this whole passage, as we head into verse 19, he says, to know this love that surpasses knowledge is knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There's a so that here in the Greek language. So go back to this, the logic here. Paul says, I'm on my knees. I'm praying that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you will have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep this love is. So that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There's an ending point to this. It's not just that you can splash around in it and it's awesome, but there's a so that you can be filled to the full measure of God. Do you remember back to chapter 1 when it said in there that Christ is in this exalted place on the throne, that everything's under his feet, that he's the head of the church, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way? That there's this idea of fullness there, that Christ's fullness is in us. If you want to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, if you want all of God, then this is necessary. You grasp his love. We don't just automatically get it just by drifting through our Christian life. We got to seize it. Make it our own. Pray that God would show it to us. Receive it. Claim it as ours because it's already been left on our answering machine. Hey, it's yours. So that then we can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The more that we grasp his love, the more we're going to be filled up. Do you want all of God or do you want just a little bit? Do you want the fullness of the Christian life and walk or do you want just a cheap sample of it? You're promised steak and you get a stale McDonald's hamburger? Like, I don't want that. I want the steak. I want the full deal. If you want the fullness of God, then this is a key to it. Do you grasp the love of God in your life? Or are you settling for just the cheap version? I want it all. That's why we're doing the prayer and fasting is one of the reasons, so that we can grasp it a little bit more, so that we can go after the heart of God some more. There's all of God that you want. He's there if you'll go after it. So are you hungry for that today? Do you want more of God? Are you willing to step in? Are you willing to ask? Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to let your walls down? Are you willing to come like a child before him? When I was a kid, I was in Sunday school and I was taught a song that you all probably know as well. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I've sung that song 1,000 times. I know the Bible says it. But if you grasp that amazing truth, Jesus loves you. We built in some time here to respond, to sit in the love of God, to be ministered to. If you have those excuses in your heart, this is the time to talk to God about them. God, I don't feel your love. I don't understand it because of, and fill in the blank, whatever it is. Or God, I don't even know what's blocking me. Will you show me what it is? Because I want to know your love. I want you to fill me up today. I invite our worship team to come. They're going to minister to us through this. I want to pray for us. I want to read the scripture again. So, Father, we come before you. I come on the authority of what you have said. I come from experience knowing that it's amazing when you tell us that you love us. And I've sensed you do that to me. In my heart, I've been filled up by the love of God before. I need that every day. I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray for all of us, God. You will minister to us your love again. That we would hear it from your word. We would hear it also from the Holy Spirit in us, strengthening us in our inner being to be able to believe this, to be able to grasp this. So I just invite you to ask the Lord, will you show me your love this morning? Just in the quietness of your heart, just ask him that.